Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Mandy Metzger.
So there was another time when my kids were in school and I had gotten up, I took them to school during the winter time, and I would come back home and I was still tired. I wanted to lay back down for a couple more hours before I had to go into work. So we had this alarm clock, and the alarm clock, it just had just your normal alarm clock. It had the time on there and just the like little stations you could play if you wanted. We never played the radio station. It was just always just used for a alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
And for the time. So I was laying there, just climbed in bed, mind you. And all of a sudden, this is going to really, I'm not lying to you. This really happened.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, my alarm clock starts talking to me. I was so scared. Oh my God. This alarm clock turned on. I mean, it was already on. It just the time. But it was like the radio station come on, and it said, "Mandy, this is," and it was a man. But he was trying to give me his name, and I really couldn't tell you what the man's name was. I was so scared. I laid there, and I was like, "Oh God, please no." And it said it again. And then after it said it a third time, I was like, okay, that's it. Pulled the covers off my head, and I looked at this alarm clock, and I said, "What did you say?"
Mm-hmm.
And nothing. I mean, nothing. So, again, I call my husband. He's thinking I'm losing my mind. And, you know, and I call my mother. She's Claire in Ohio, and she's like, you know, trying to reassure me, "Mandy, you know, you always got something going on." And at this time, I was really, really into the church. I mean, we were going to church every Sunday. I was reading my Bible. I mean, I still had all these things going on. And it didn't matter. It seemed like the more I got into my Bible, the more I would have these experiences. It was getting, like, intense. And so that was one of the freakiest things there that was going on in this house in Michigan. But I will say that I did have family come from Ohio to stay with us during the 4th of July. My niece at the time was there, and she swears up and down she's seen a black figure standing in my, would have been my school, I think it was the living room, she said. And it really terrified her. And besides hearing the walking around, you would hear scooting noises.
Mm-hmm.
And the freaky part about this is when we rented this house, the lady's parents had died there, and her father had MS, and he would scoot on the floor.
Mm.
He would scoot, she told me. And I didn't want to tell her what I was hearing because I didn't want to freak her out.
Sure.
So that was really intense. That place was so scary. My kids would even tell you to this day, "Oh my gosh, the house in Michigan." It was
sure.
Like the Amity. It looked like the Amityville Horror.
Oh, God.
Like a smaller version,
yeah,
of the Amityville Horror house.
What's when you have all these experiences, and you had said earlier that you believe that everyone can be a medium or be sensitive to things, you know, beyond just where they may be today. How does one rediscover that ability if they don't feel that they are anywhere on the sensitive scale as an adult?
You would have to find, a medium or a psychic, someone who, even a Reiki healer person, mm-hmm. because I would say that person's probably blocked, if that makes sense. Like their chakras,
okay,
they're not open, so that person's not. They just they don't want to believe. It could be because of something's happened to them, or they just don't want to believe. So when you have someone like that, it can make it harder for them to try to do meditation or, you know, just to tune in. Mm-hmm. They would need to go find someone who is able to do these things and try to help them out. And I can't say for everyone if it would happen for them. I don't know.
Sure.
I just know that I've had all these experiences since I was young, and it just progressed everywhere, every house I ever lived in.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I believe that I could be a natural medium, I guess you mm-hmm. could say, because having this go on for years.
Sure. And obviously having all of these paranormal experiences yourself throughout your life, what then led you to want to get involved with doing investigations and helping other people out? Obviously you had plenty of experiences, but what made you cross that line from just, I have a haunted life, to let's dig deeper into this?
Well, it's always been intriguing to me. And so I remember, you know, growing up watching Taps and, you know, my mother's home that she ended up moving into, it was haunted. It still is haunted, actually. I've had some crazy things happen to me there.
Mm-hmm.
We would watch, our family started watching Taps when they first first appeared on TV.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. And, you know, my mother, she knew that I had experiences going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of began from there. I was like, oh, wow, there's actually people doing this. And it just kind of grew from there, me having my own experiences. And, you know, I just started becoming really intrigued with it. And what got me into the medium part was my daughter is very gifted. My youngest daughter is, I don't even know what to call her gift. I mean, she sees spirits on a regular basis.
Okay.
I only see them once in a while. It's not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As she sees them all the time and hears them, and they come to her a lot, but she doesn't want no part of it. But I had talked to another medium who had told me what was going on. I told him I've had experiences with paranormal my whole life, and he said, maybe. He said, you're sensitive. You're a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to me what was going on. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, you know, I've been told I was a sensitive person all the time, but I said, really? He's like, yes. So I worked with someone for a year from Ireland, and he helped me tune in more. Even though I was already hearing them,
mm-hmm.
Everything was going on. It just opened me up more and helped me get that more connection and see things more. And then he taught me how to help my daughter, because she was seeing some really bad things, and it just went from there. And then I started to think, you know what, I'm gonna start a team. I'm like, yeah, something just said it was my time. Mm-hmm. I just had this overwhelming feeling it's time to start a team, because, you know, I started to investigate my house back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, I moved from Michigan out of that house into another house that was haunted. had, you know, the alarm clock that was going off that would talk to me in Michigan tried to come on and do the same thing. And when I lived in this house in Marion, I was like, oh, no, and I turned it off. I mean, I actually, in 2012, used to try to, like, record, like, video record with my cell phone the experiences. And because I was hearing spirit. There was a man in the home that would talk to me every now and then, and I wouldn't, like, talk back to him. I would just question, oh, my gosh, please, am I really hearing this, you know? So it actually started for me, 2012, is when I actually started to get into wanting to be a paranormal investigator. I just did not, at that time, do anything about it. I didn't know that everything was going to lead to this until I moved into the home that we ended up buying. Now, been here 6 years, and I started having a lot of experiences here. My daughter started having experiences now here in this home for 6 years. And it just seemed like once she started having her experience, it was like something clicked and told me, this is your time. You need to create this team. This is your time. And next thing you know, we've created Ghost Sisters, and we've been going strong. We created the team in 2017. But we officially started our first investigation in 2016 at the Mansfield Prison here in Ohio. And we actually caught something.
You had said that your daughter was having experiences and just, you know, off the charts, and you really, or she didn't really want to have anything to do with it. Did you find ways to help her turn down that ability or to deal with it in a better way?
My mentor, you know, he taught me how to protect myself and, you know, say these prayers because, you know, I believe in God, most definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the children and us, we would go to church and stuff, you know, and I just try to teach her to say, make sure she's saying her prayer. There was a prayer I told her she needed to be saying, and I got crystals. I had this necklace that she would wear. I got her this cross. She felt more safe wearing the cross because she felt like it was, you know, keeping the bad things entering her room. And I got her crystals to protect her. Just did whatever I can do, you know. I didn't know how to tell her to shut it down. It just didn't shut down. It just got worse.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere she goes, it's crazy. So I'm going to write a book one day.
So to this day, she's still, there's no way that she's found a way to turn the volume down on it. It just continues to kind of plague her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then when we're together, it's like we'll have stuff going on, and everybody's seeing the spirits in the house now, even my husband.
Wow.
He blames me because he's kind of on the skeptic side. Even though he's actually seen the spirits in the house, he's still, like, you know, freaked out by it. He doesn't, you know, he'll still question himself, even though he has seen the lady in the house. And, you know, just multiple things. But yeah, my daughter, she can't go anywhere. I mean, if she was around you, she would say, Mom, there's so-and-so's around him. Mm-hmm. There's a guy, a woman, or, you know. And it's just, she just doesn't, I try to get her to embrace her gift. I say, you don't know how lucky you are to have this gift. A lot of people would love to see their loved ones and hear them. I'm like, you should embrace this. You were given this for a reason. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I don't want a part of it, Mom. You know, I don't want a part of it. And I said, well, there's nothing I can do. If it, God wants it to calm down, he'll calm it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, she's not shut down. I think she's open 24/7. She doesn't shut it down. I don't think she knows how. And I really don't know how to get her to understand that.
Sure.
That she needs to shut it down and, you know, only have them come to you at a certain time.
You had mentioned earlier that you still have fear, you know, sometimes in spooky situations of the unknown. How does that play a role into your investigations? Because quite often I hear investigators and such talk to me and say, you have to go in without fear. You have to go in without having any of that there, because things will feed off of the fear. Are you able to kind of compartmentalize that when you go into an investigation, or does it play a role? Does it help draw out things? How does that work for you and with what you do?
Well, first I'll just tell you also, I do spiritual writing, which I self-taught myself. One day I just had this, my intuition was like, you need to write. And I ended up learning on my own the spiritual writing. It was the weirdest thing. And then I ended up getting this, I don't know how to explain it. It was like an envision that I needed to do this when I go on investigation. So now when we go, I'll take 10 minutes of not knowing anything about who died, names or anything, and I'll connect with the lower energies, and I'll, you know, I will get names, time of death, ages. And then when we go out to investigate, yes, I am scared, and I can't always shut that down. Mm-hmm. And it's because I feel them all up on me. It's like I'm like a light bulb, and they're all just coming at me.
Yeah.
And I can sense that. Now, there is some places where I'm like, okay, it doesn't feel like anything bad and I can do this, you know, but I isolate myself in the most terrifying places, because the spirits will talk to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I am scared to death, I go and isolate myself in basements and morgues. I've laid in, we were at Waverly Hills, and I did a solo in the hospital room and in the morgue. I laid in the actual bed where they had the bodies. I laid in there in the dark. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, they do feed off that fear, and I know that, but I'm not trying to have that fear. It's just, I can feel them all up on me.
Sure.
And sometimes it's hard for me to walk down, like be the last person walking down an aisle,
mm-hmm.
because I feel them like run up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually captured this as proof in another location, where I had come out of this room, me and my researcher at that time, he was in front of me, and I was walking out last, and we had a camcorder in this room, and I literally felt the spirit of whatever it was that was dark ran right up on me, and I said, oh my God, something's right up on me.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they were calling me on the radio to get downstairs, that they caught something follow me right out of the room. And we did. We have that actually on our page. So, yeah, it's very intense when you're sensitive like this, but you get a lot more communication with spirits. I've had them like follow me around and like they like to like pull on my shirt. They'll tug at me. They'll try to talk to me in my ear. I've had them do multiple weird things. And it freaks me out. I mean, we go live all the time. If anyone has to watch us live, you would definitely get to experience what I experienced, because I'm always seem to be live when this is all going on, and just out of the blue, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen with us girls, especially me.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Mandy Metzger about her paranormal experiences throughout life. A big thank you to her for joining us on the show and sharing them with us. And thank you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.